with us. We're on the kingdom of heaven is now. There's a sign that I've seen in the past that we held up, and some translations say the kingdom of heaven is near, has come near. King James would say it is at hand. And so in Matthew 10:7, he's saying to go to the lost house of Israel. That was a specific commandment at that time. That he gave them to do. He gave them instructions for how and what to do. And he said not to enter any Gentiles, not to go anywhere among the Gentiles, nor enter the towns of Samaria, of Samaritans, but rather go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And then he says, as you go, proclaim the good news. The kingdom of heaven has come near. And I was drawn to the Malachi 3:3. See, I am sending you my messenger to prepare the way before me. The Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to my temple, the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight. Indeed is coming, says the Lord of hosts. Who can endure the day of his coming, and who can stand when he appears? I think this is Jesus when He's intending to come. This is a prophecy, and very few were willing to accept him. They just wouldn't accept him. But he had this delightful message. He was coming with a new covenant in whom you delight. He didn't say a new covenant here, but it was a new covenant. For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. He will sit as a refiner and the purifier of silver, and he will purify the descendants of Levi and refine them like gold and silver until they present offerings to the Lord in righteousness. So when Jesus came, he immediately started teaching these ways of the kingdom. This new kingdom he was bringing to pass. He's refining them, getting them ready so they could speak righteousness. He's still in that business. The offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasing to the Lord in the days of old, and as in the former years. Then I will draw near to you for judgment. I will be swift to bear witness against the sorcerers, against the adulterers, against those who swear falsely, against those who oppress the hired workers in their wages, the widow and the orphan, against those who thrust aside the alien, and do not fear me, saith the Lord of hosts. For I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore you, O children of Jacob, have not perished. Ever since the days of your ancestors, you have turned aside from me, you have turned aside from my statutes, and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, saith the Lord of hosts. But you say, how shall we return? For I, the Lord, do not change. And because he didn't change, it seems to me like that's the reason they're still existing. I'm not sure if that's because of his goodness that he showed them. Didn't allow his anger to go over what he had said he would do for them, especially for King David. He said he would protect them forever, I think is the word he used. But in that, they went through a lot of turmoil, a lot of falling away, coming back, being reproved, being disciplined, until finally this time came when Jesus would come. I guess I'll skip down to Malachi 14, Malachi 3. You have said it's vain to serve God. What do we profit by keeping His commandment, or going about as mourners before the Lord of hosts? Don't we still hear that today? What is the profit of being a Christian? All we have to do is walk in these ways of death, this narrow, difficult path. It's kind of what I hear here. It's this. What do we profit by keeping His command, or by going about as mourners before the Lord of hosts? Now we count the arrogant happy. Evildoers not only prosper, but when they put God to the test, they escape. Then those who revered the Lord spoke with one another. The Lord took note and listened. The book of remembrance was written before Him of those who revered the Lord and thought on His name. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, my special possession in the day when I act. I will spare them as parents spare their children who serve them. Then once more you will see the difference between the righteous and the wicked, between one who serves God and the one who does not serve Him. The kingdom of heaven is now. My point in this is to encourage us to not be going into the past, not going into the future, but that we walk this way that Jesus wants us to walk today and now. And as I'm thinking of these things about the kingdom of heaven is now, you know, Jesus came with a message of beautiful things. And we as Christians embrace them. We press into the kingdom of heaven is now. Thoughtful, kind, loving, giving, respectful, helpful, kind. The list can goes on and on. This is what Jesus was teaching. He was refining. He wants to refine us in the same way as silver, that we can shine like gold and that our words become righteous. That's the good news. But it's what? A narrow way? A difficult way? Why is this way narrow and difficult? It's the way to eternal life. We have to accept that it's narrow and difficult. It's the only way to life. We can choose the other way to gratify ourselves, be selfish, be unkind. Have pride. Want to do what's pleasing to our eyes and pleasing to the flesh. We want to make a name of ourselves. We want to go up. Pride wants to go up. It wants to rise. It wants to walk this beautiful path that is well trodden. It is broad. It's easy. And it looks safe. Everybody else is traveling it. But it's not this narrow path that Jesus says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is now. The message he gave was not an easy message. And we need to press into it. The now keeps ticking on, and I find myself weak in embracing that now. It's just, I find it easy to allow it to go by and not really make good use of it. So there's this other kingdom that I kind of mentioned about, the one that's easy, it looks safe, most people traveling it. We can just kind of relax and float along. It's not even difficult. But we're off the narrow road, off the difficult path. So when he came with the good news, he was teaching this path that would refine us like gold so that we can, I kind of like those words. Let me find it again. I can't get it in my eyes again. To make us like gold, to make us fit that we start speaking righteous. Righteousness comes out of us. We no longer follow the ways of the world and seeking the pleasures of our eyes and the pleasures of our flesh, being prideful. This is the other kingdom that is also now. And that kingdom, when we perform that now, it is for gratification for now. It's not going to be a lasting thing. It is not something that will take us into eternity. It'll take us into eternal destruction. And that road is broad and well traveled. Let us be awake and encouraging one another in taking advantage of the moment we have. We understand by knowledge that our next moment may be gone. We may not have it. We understand that, but we have a difficulty, at least I have a difficulty, of really grasping that it's not as difficult when we take one step at a time. It's when we look too far ahead. And the Lord will be with us. He cannot be with us in the future. That's why when we go in the past and why we go in the future, how can God be with us? So the kingdom of heaven is now, and Jesus said, repent. I think John the Baptist said something similar. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And this, the good news is the message that came out of his mouth. The Lord bless us, and feel free to share. Correct. Add.
Thank you, Brother Walter. Amen. Too many trials and tribulations. one must enter the kingdom of God. And un día a la vez, of course, one day at a time, each day will have enough troubles of its own. I think Mother Dijon would say amen to that, and Joe Yoda, anyone who's older than myself too. One quick comment, true story about, as you mentioned, like seeing God face to face, the song that Brother Will mentioned, he sang, and he led the love of God till we see him face to face. A true story, in 1981, a woman was born blind. Her first name was Anna, I forget her last name. And she was born with retinitis, pigonitis or something. She was a congenital eye disease. She was born blind, like the man born blind, and could never see. And she learned how to do Braille. And in the Braille school, she married a man who did have eyes. He married her. And his eyesight wasn't that good. But anyway, in 1981, there was a doctor from UCLA who was just coming up with a cure for congenital cataracts. And he went to that woman and performed the operation. And praise God, her eyes were open the first time she could ever see in her life at 47 years of age. And what she said was, the things that she saw were so much bigger and brighter than she could ever imagine. Bigger and brighter. And I think of Paul on the road to Damascus, or Moses when he says, no one can see me and live. God said that. It's even bigger and brighter. And it is an absolute. God is an absolute for that. Anyway, in that story, her husband, his eyes degenerated. And she, with the operation, had 20/30. She could drive. And she took care of him for the next 15 years. A modern-day miracle. But the main point is that we hope, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. We want to see God and give glory to him. And let's work out our salvation today by loving one another and keeping his commandments. The Lord be magnified.
Yeah, that were some very inspiring thoughts, and I wanted to just say amen to that and add a few. I think there's a little bit of a mystery to that statement of the kingdom of heaven being now, and just like, what does that mean? Or when it says, the reason I think it's a little hard for me to understand it is the word now and near gets used, and so to kind of, in my mind, how I process that is that the kingdom of heaven is it one place it says in you, I think, and I think for the Jewish people listening, trying to make sense of this, it would mean like where is he going to dwell now? Like in this new covenant, where's this new place where God wants to sit? And in the old, it would have been the Ark of the Covenant, I believe, and Tabernacle, later the Temple, and so on. But now I think, in my mind, that's what makes sense. Like the kingdom of heaven is now, it's now in us, and it's a present reality and a future hope. You know, it'll just get better, and will just be revealed more and more. But it's now. It starts now. We are to enter now and continue in it. For a picture, Jesus painted that story with a picture, I think, talking about everyone that came before me were thieves and robbers and other men, and they climb in some other way. And I think there's just this one entrance into it, and that's through him and his ways. And somehow I think Pentecost is linked to it, just how Pentecost was then the place where the tongues of fire came and settled on the people, and from there the fullness of the kingdom of God here on this earth was more not really present, because I think it was present, it was more revealed where it's going to be, and that was going to be inside every man that chooses it. So that still is for us. Praise God.